The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We'll continue our study this evening. Genesis chapter 5 will wrap up the chapter, doing verses 25 through 32 as a unit. All right, as our custom, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if you need to. Make sure you're in the filling of God, the Holy Spirit. Put the sin nature in its case, so to speak. In this way, we're able to approach the truth of Bible doctrine, undistorted, in its purest of forms, through the operation of the Holy Spirit in conjunction with our human spirit. Therefore, understand God's plan clearly, and therefore profit regards truly to the study at hand for our own means of application in our Christian life. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with a normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your perfect plan. We thank you that in eternity past you foresaw everything that's necessary for this plan to come to fulfillment. We ask you bless us once again this evening as we study these things at hand in regards to your plan, that God the Holy Spirit will light us to truth and matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, to finish off the Adamic line through Seth, we have the final generations recorded for us. After Enoch, the seventh generation, here generations 8 through 10, slash 11, if you obviously look at Shem, Ham, and Japheth as offspring of Noah in this regard. Looking at the Hebrew, it begins with Enoch's son Methuselah. And carries through his person. Again, we see the pattern reapplied in regards to these particular generations, indicating the age that they arrive at maturity, the age of blessing after maturity, having other children, and the compilation of their age, and the cycle then being fulfilled according to God's original divine design for man in this respect. Methuselah lived 187 years, became the father of Lamech. Yeah, the wow consecutive, followed with the cal, imperfect verb, third masculine singular, to live, kayah, C-H-A-Y-A-H, our proper noun, Methuselah, the name from the root meaning mat, man, and he lived Methuselah, here 187 years in the Hebrew. First you had the number 7 brought out, adjective feminine singular absolute, Sheba, S-H-E-B-A, vowel conjunction. Then our number 80, adjective takes both genders, plural absolute, Shemonim, S-H-E-M-O-N-I-Y-M. Years, noun, common, feminine, singular, absolute, Shana, S-H-A-N-A-H. And 100 years, vowel conjunction, or noun, or adjective for 100, feminine, singular, construct, Me'a, M-E-A-H. Years, Shana, repeated, and became the father of Lamech, literally, and he begat Lamech, vowel consecutive. He had the Hiphil imperfect third masculine singular of a verb Yalad, Y-A-L-A-D. And then our proper noun for our name Lamech, transliterated L-E-M-E-C-H. Verse 26, Then Methuselah lived 782 years after he became the father of Lamech, and he had other sons and daughters. While consecutive, our verb kayah, to live, again, Methuselah, proper noun. Then you had the adverb after, acherei, A-C-H-E-R-E-Y. He became the father of is your hifil infinitive construct with the third masculine singular suffix, yalad, A-Y-A-L-A-D again, after his begetting. Sign of direct object, Lamech, transliterated. 782 years, first you have the adjective two, feminine dual, obviously two numbers, absolute. Shanaim, Shanaim, S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-M. With the wow conjunction, and then again our word for 80, Shemonim, we saw that, S-H-E-M-O-N-I-Y-M, year, Shana, wow conjunction, the adjective, feminine singular construct, our number for seven again, Sheba, S-H-E-B-A, followed with the plural of our adjective, feminine absolute, Me'ah, M-E-A-H, hundreds, years, Shana, again repeated. And he had other sons and daughters, while consecutive, the hifil, causative, imperfect, third masculine singular, yalad, repeated. And then sons and daughters is ben, while bath, the first noun, common masculine plural, for sons, ben, absolute. Then the common feminine plural, absolute, daughters, bath, B-A-T-H. Verse 27, so all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. Literally, and it came to pass all the days of Methuselah. While consecutive, then our verb, cal imperfect third masculine singular, ha-yah, to come to pass, H-A-Y-A-H, time passes. Follow with our noun for all, kol, K-O-L, days, common masculine plural construct, yom, Y-O-M, Methuselah. 969 years, first you had the adjective nine, feminine singular absolute, tesha, T-E-S-H-A, wow conjunction. Then our adjective for 60, both plural, absolute, shishim, S-H-I-S-H-S-H-I-Y-M, years, shana, and 900, vowel conjunction. Again, our number 9, tesha, adjective, feminine singular, hundreds, ne'ah, N-E-A-H, years, shana, repeated. And then his life is completed, and he died. While consecutive, verb cal imperfect, third masculine singular, muth, to die, M-U-T-H. Then the division marker, fe, ends that verse. Verse 28, then Lamech carries on the lineage. And Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of the son. So we see the pattern now, again, broke. Instead of just saying the son's name, it's just simply a son. Lamech, while consecutive, followed with the verb to live, again, cal imperfect, third masculine singular, kayah, C-H-A-Y-A-H. Lamech, and he lived 182 years, our number 2, again, adjective feminine dual, absolute, Shanaim, S-H-E-N-A-Y-I-M, plus 80, it's adjective both plural, absolute, Shemonim, S-H-E-M-O-N-I-Y-M, years, Shana, S-H-A-N-A-H, and 100 in the singular, adjective, wow conjunction with adjective in the singular, feminine, construct, me'ah, years, shana, repeated. And he fathered a son. Wow, consecutive. Our Hifil verb, imperfect third masculine singular, to beget, to father, Yalad, Y-A-L-A-D, followed with our noun for son, common masculine singular here in the singular, Ben, B-E-N. Verse 29, now he called his name Noah, saying, this one will give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed. Wow, consecutive, Cal, imperfect third masculine singular, Kara, Q-A-R-A, plus the sign of the direct object. And then our noun, common masculine singular, construct with the third masculine singular suffix for name, Shem, S-H-E-M. Followed with our proper noun, translated Noah, Noach. N-O-N-O-A-C-H. And he called his name literally Noah, which Noah literally means to rest. Saying is the preposition lamed with the verb cal infinity construct amar. A-M-A-R. To say, this one is the adjective masculine singular zeh, S-Z-E-H, shall give us rest. That is the verb PL, which is intensive, imperfect third masculine singular with the first plural common suffix, nakam, N-A-C-H-A-M. Will utterly comfort us. Translated, give us rest. The first plural common suffix, us. The rest is from our work, from the toil of our hands. You have the preposition men, from, M-I-N. Our work is a common masculine singular now construct with the first plural common suffix, ma'aseh, M-A. A-S-E-H, from our work, our labor, and, wow, conjunction, from, men, repeated, preposition, men, and then the toil is a noun, common masculine singular, construct of itzabon, I-T-S-A-B-O-N. This is the toil or sorrow of, as it context may dictate, our hands. Our hands is a common feminine dual construct. Obviously, you've got two hands, hence the dual, with the first plural common suffix, yad, Y-A-D, noun for hand or hands. From the ground, literally, translated arising from the ground in the New American Standard. Again, the third use of the preposition men. Followed with the definite article, noun, common feminine singular, absolute, our word for ground, earth, soil, as it may be, land, adama, A-D-A-M-A-H, that which Adam is created from. From the ground, which the Lord has cursed. You have the relative pronoun asher, A-S-H-E-R, which, again, the P-L, verb, use of the verb, perfect third masculine singular with the third feminine singular suffix, our word to curse, arar, A-R-A-R. Again, intensive. Yahweh, proper noun, which he utterly cursed it, or completely cursed it. Verse 30. Then Lamech lived 595 years after he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. Again, this fits the pattern. Then Lamech, while consecutive, lived, while consecutive with our verb to live, kaya. Calum perfect, third masculine singular, C-H-A-Y-A-H. Lamech, after, is our adverb, akare, A-C-H-E-R-E-Y. After he became the father of Noah, verb, hifil, infinitive, constructive, third masculine singular, suffix, again, yalad, A-L-A-D, sign of direct object, proper noun, Noah, Noach. And he lived Lamech after his begetting of Noah. Here, 595 years. Our adjective, feminine singular absolute for five is Kamesh, C-H-A-M-E-S-H. Vowel conjunction. And then our adjective, both plural absolute for 90 is Tish'im, Tish'im, T-I-S-H. I-Y-M, and 90 years, Shana, vowel conjunction, and 500, again, Kamesh, repeated, the adjective, cardinal adjective, follow with our noun for 100 in the plural, Mea, hundreds, we say it in the singular, collective, M-E-A-H, years, Shana. And he had other sons and daughters, vowel consecutive, Hifil, form of the verb yalad, third masculine singular, and he begat sons and daughters, ben wabath. Verse 31. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. His total lifespan, a little short of the average, but obviously not the shortest. While consecutive, follow the verb calum perfect third masculine singular haya, and it came to pass all kol noun again K-O-L follow with our noun for days in the plural yom Y-O-M of Lamech 777 years three sevens here the first number seven is in the singular adjective sheba S-H-E-B-A vowel conjunction, and then our number 70, adjective, both plural, absolute, is Sheba'im, with the plural on it, S-H-I-B-E-I-Y-M, year, Shana, and then for 700, seven, Sheba, repeated, followed with our noun for hundreds, Mea, and he died. Vowel consecutive, calum perfect, third masculine singular, muth, M-U-T-H. Now we have our division marker, semek, ending that verse. So it reappears. Then the final verse, here chapter 5, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Vowel consecutive, plus the verb, calum perfect, third masculine singular, haya, H-A-Y-A-H, follow the proper noun, Noah, Noach. Then you had the noun, common masculine singular, construct, our word for son, Ben, B-E-N. Literally, and it came to pass, sons of Noah. Then you had the age given, 500 years old, our adjective Kamesh, C-H-A-M-E-S-H, hundreds, Me'ah, years, Shana. And he beget, literally, Noah, verb, hifil, imperfect, third masculine singular, Yalad, became the father of, plus follow with the proper noun, Noah, being the subject of the one who's the father. And then it gives the three names of his sons here, all preceded with a sign of direct object. The first one is Shem, S-H-E-M. Literally, that means name. What's your name? Name. Ask me again, I'll tell you the same. Sorry about that. Then the next one is Ham, H-A-M. That literally means hot. And you read the story about Ham and you'll see why he has this name. And then our final noun and name is Shem. It is Japheth. 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 Y-A-P-H-E-T-H. Literally, that means in ties. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All right. Rereading the verses, Methuselah lived 187 years, became the father of Lamech. Then Methuselah lived 782 years, verse 26, after he became the father of Lamech, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. The exact pattern given with the preceding generations of 2 through 6. In verse 28, Lamech, he enters into the picture with his offspring, lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he called his name Noah, saying, "This one shall give us rest from our work, from the toil of our hands, rising from the ground which the Lord has cursed, utterly cursed." At verse 30, then Lamech lived 595 years after he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The analysis of verses 25 through 32. One, the notoriety of Methuselah is being the oldest living human being recorded in history. Lived 969 years, almost a full millennium. And while we obviously look at that and are astounded, it is obviously exceptional, if you will, up to this point in time in history, but will not be unheard of again when we get into the millennial state, as it is very possible there will be those who enter into the millennium who are alive even today that may be part of the generation going into the final 7 years of the trib and then into the millennium and actually surviving throughout the entire millennium and entering in to the eternal state in that condition in their normal bodies. So that's 1,000-plus years, add maybe 30 to 40 years on the millennium for particular individuals that. But up to this point in time, obviously, 969 years holds the record. So two, he Methuselah, died on the year of the flood with rabbinic history placing it on the very day the flood began. Some of the rabbis, they project that he lived all the way up to the very day of the flood, and then God, he died of old age. But all we can confirm through what we have recorded in the scriptures is that he lived up to the year of the flood. Three, to arrive at this year, the mathematics is fairly simple. We add the age of each of the eight patriarchs from Adam through Methuselah at the birth of their firstborns, which accumulated as 874 years, and then add the number of the years Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech, which is the sum of 782 years, which is 1,656 years. The very time span, if you will, of the antediluvian period measured in years, give or take months or days. So he obviously lived a long time and saw a lot. For Methuselah actually outlived his son Lamech, who died at age 777, which is only 1,651 years post-restoration. So his father, or his son, actually dies before the father, 5 years shy of how long Methuselah lived By post-restoration, we're talking after the sixth day of creation, of restoration. Excuse me. So five, now his counterculture of Methuselah is the children of Lamech. Again, part of appreciation of the heritage here is contrasting it, paralleling it to the line of Cain recorded for us in chapter 4. And the generations are designed to match or parallel those generations for all intents and purposes. And his counterculture, his parallel culture, matching culture, is the children of Lamech in the line of Cain, the final generations that came, and is recorded for us of the Cainite lineage, consisting of three sons and a daughter off of two wives, Jabal and Jubal, and then Tubal Cain and his sister Naamah. That was recorded for us in verse 20 and 22. The two wives, Ada and Zillah. Ada, mother Jabal and Jubal. Zillah, mother Tubal, Cain, and Naamah. So that's his counterculture in the parallel of the two heritages. So six, in contrast to an unbelieving generation through the line of Cain and their final representations through the children of Lamech, in contrast to an unbelieving generation that cuts short their ancestral heritage, ushering in a universal judgment upon their posterity, which that is the destiny for the line of Cain in that respect. In that contrast, we have here Methuselah is a generation of longevity, postured to overcome the future judgment with a continued heritage. So the contrast, comparisons between the two, fairly straightforward, simple to see. One's cut short, the generations of the children of Lamech are cut short through the line of Cain. Methuselah has the longest history of longevity of any other individual human being that's existed on this planet. And his history is predisposed, it is postured to bypass the judgment through his own lineage. And his heritage will obviously continue as all this is represented in the seed of the woman, as a maintaining the line of the seed of the woman, the line of Messiah coming through these generations. So seven, Methuselah represents a singular generation to eyewitness the entire period of the demonic infiltration, yet remaining positive and oriented to God's plan otherwise. Another outstanding feature in regards to Methuselah is that he did witness the entirety of the angelic infiltration. Whether his dad Enoch was able to witness some of it or not, again, I'm not splitting hairs. But Methuselah definitely witnessed all of it. And obviously, almost a full millennium of lifetime, and the biggest portion of that is seeing this evil infiltrate the planet, and the planet then turning around and embracing it. Part of his test in life, even though God endowed him with a long life, was to continue to resist from becoming a part of this evil, to stay positive, to stay on track, to remain oriented to God's plan in spite of all the dominance of human viewpoint, negative volition, etc., that existed and surrounded him, his family, and other positive volition at the time. So, truly, nothing new under the sun. He could do it. We today are arriving at our own place in history, watching evil raise this ugly head once again to a level unsurpassed, apart from the antediluvian period of this angelic or demonic infiltration, to stay the course. And you can do it. But how you do it is by remaining positive, remaining oriented to the truth of Bible doctrine. People that capitulate, that end up catering, crashing, burning, there's no excuse. He obviously had to endure, if you will, for at least close to 800 years of this kind of evil. And it wasn't something that got better as time went along either. It got worse and worse and worse. And as the whole scenario will bring out, the pressure is on a positive volition to cave in and capitulate to this oppression and pressure of Satan's world in this capacity. But Methuselah represents a single generation. It would be like someone who is born around the time of Israel becoming a nation again and being part of the rapture generation for its entirety in 1948. I was born 3 years after that. I get to see most of it. And to sit there and endure living in Satan's world with everything coming about to align itself with the appearance of the Antichrist. Obviously, we're going to get some grace just like any pig, and God's going to yank us out of here before the Great Tribulation occurs. But to be associated and living in Satan's world at a time where you can't turn on the Bluetooth without seeing the very thing. And I'm not talking tubes here, unless you're watching something really weird. Everything is dominated today in regards to sex and other kinds of evil. Antinomianism, rebellion against authority, turning criminals into victims, vice versa, the onslaught and attack of divine institution of volition, what you can believe, what you can't. I mean, who? Good grief. States now having to pass laws for freedom of religion so you can believe what you want to believe, and people are pissed off about that. You know, raising heck, what can you expect? We're living in a very evil time. But you don't have to capitulate. You don't have to cave in. You don't have to give in regards to their sway and how they seek to manipulate and draw people in otherwise. And your salvation, your lifeline in that regards is Bible doctrine. Again, apart from Bible doctrine, you don't know. You can't know. You can't depend upon things in this world, even in supernatural areas, apart from doctrine, in regards to validation of what's good and what's evil. The world will be deluded through the Antichrist, big time. They're being deluded now through the puppets of Satan. But through the Antichrist and the false prophet, miraculous things will occur surrounding these individuals. And to the negative world, it can mean only one thing. They truly are what they proclaim to be. See? Well, normally you might think that, except the Bible says something different. Nope. It is part of the judgment that comes upon negative volition. That's the nature of negative volition. See? They're negative, and they reject the truth, and they then fall for the lies of the cosmos. And constantly you have pressure on your own SCA with all the other things that are affected around you economically, socially, and otherwise to cater, to give in, to soften up your stand in regards to doctrine and in regards to the divine viewpoint. Just fit in a little bit, you know. Just give a little bit to us. See, and you'll be all right. We'll embrace you. Thank you, but no thanks. That's Methuselah. thank you, but no thanks. See. Obviously, he followed in the footsteps of a great prophet, his father. And he had the truth, and he understood it. And he knew the judgment was coming about, and he's one that obviously adhered to it. And then he passes this down to his own generations. He carries that torch and passes that torch down to his own offspring. But to live during the entire period of evil, when evil becomes its most saturated, this is Methuselah. That's his life. Again, you probably can't get much closer to this than living in a prophetic latter-day Babylon itself. See, and all the pressures that are upon us to give in, cave in. You know, what's wrong with a little homosexual union going on here and there? Or whatever. Oh, that's all right. You can believe your creation theory as long as you put in a little bit of the evolution for us. Let's see. 8. Methuselah's name is suggested here as meaning, quote, the man of the javelin, end quote, or man of weapons. That's your root meaning mot or met. It means man plus shelah. Spear or weapon. And this brought out another interesting side note for us here. 9, that we early associated Lamech's daughter, Naama, his counterculture generations, as representative of the daughters targeted by the demonic aliens. Another parallel to her brother now, Tubal-Cain, a metal forger of weaponry, is implied. 10, Methuselah's name ironically suggests a strong need to defend oneself during this time in history. Tubal-Cain is known for his smelting the metals into weaponry, obviously to make a name for himself. Big money in regards to wars and making weapons for wars and things of this nature. Then on the other end of the coin, you got the innocent victims out there. And they have the right to defend themselves. And during this period of time, it wasn't just all fun and games, rolling the hay and party down. No, during this time became one of the most violent periods of man's history that we're aware of. Again, the violence will be, once again, if you will, paralleled at least to a certain degree during the period of the tribulation through the Antichrist. Unparalleled, generally speaking, up to that point in time. And violence is part of the name of the game living during this period of time in history. In 6:11, it brings that out. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. Filled with violence. And we think the gang problem, terrorist problem, is a big thing today. Violence has always been a part of history. It's obviously manifests itself in major ways, in different ways. But it's generally always subdued during the antediluvian period with the demonic infiltration. Violence becomes a major lifestyle that people had to deal with in regards to their own livelihood. So Methuselah's name, man of the javelin or man of the weapons, strongly suggests that he was very adept at defending himself. And I like his choice of weaponry. Obviously not an arrow, but a spear that he can defend himself immediately at hand if necessary with this weapon, or if he wants to get him to jump on him, get him en route running towards him and throw it. See. So it's really a spear is a good over all-around weapon in that respect. All right. So, again, we see some irony in regards to the paralleling and contrasting of these two lines of heritage through Cain and Seth. And here, as brought out in regards to names, and the irony continues here at point 11. The irony associated with the final Cainite generation persists, as Methuselah then names his firstborn Lamech, the same name that fathered the final Cainite generation. Now, for all intents and purposes, the Cainite Lamech was alive and around. Whether Methuselah knew of him or whatever, knew him, we don't know. But irony continues in regards to looking at these parallels, and that is that Methuselah names his firstborn Lamech, the same name that fathered the final Cainite generation. And Lamech himself, the son of Methuselah, will father the final generation that will father the generation carrying their heritage into and past the judgment of the flood into the next era of human history. So 12, according to the pattern here, Methuselah was 187 years old at Lamech's birth, denoting his age of attaining maturity. So 13, the parallel of the Lamech name highlights the two fathers that ushered in the final generations, closing out the antediluvian period. That's the irony of the two names paralleling them. 14, one was a negative unbeliever, producing the heritage of judgment associated with the seed of the serpent. And again, only until you go through and really study this thing closely, at least for me, did the seed of the serpent really pop out so literal to me. The seed of the serpent, a demonic procreation with earthly wives, with human wives, see. And truly, the seed of the serpent comes about in a literal way. And here you have the Lamech from the line of Cain, the unbeliever producing the heritage of judgment associated with the seed of the serpent, point 14. The other, a positive believer, continued the line of the seed of the woman. The only thing similar is their names. Spiritually, totally two different opposite individuals that you can find, basically. Spiritually speaking. So 15, now when Lamech reached the age of 182 years for him, his age of maturity, he fathered a son. Simply, rather than a name, it just simply says he begat a son, Ben. A Hebrew word for son. So 16, the pattern of offspring introduction now is broken, and Lamech is the only patriarch that provides an explanation for naming his son, which is verse 29. 17, he called his name Noah, commenting, quote, "This one shall give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands, arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." Alright, looking at this aspect here, 18, Lamech's words have a prophetic undertone attached to them. Whether it's in anticipation, this one may give us rest, as some interpreters like to look at it that way. Either way, it is prophetic. In essence. 19, this, as his words were said at Noah's birth, and in correlation with naming him. In anticipation, much like Eve naming Seth. Both cases, you have a strong prophetic undertone attached to the comments made. So 20, now the name Noah, Noach, is from the word Nuach, N-U-A-C-H in the Hebrew, and it literally means rest. 21, the noun translated by the New American Standard, rest, in our verses, in the verse 29. This one shall give us rest from our work. More closely, which is our word nakam, nuach, then nakam, N-A-C-H-A-M, more closely means comfort. Comfort. A good example of the associations of these words. Point 22, a close association with nuach and nakam is seen in Ezekiel 5:13, which I've written out for you, God speaking. Thus my anger will be spent, and I will satisfy my wrath on them. The word translated satisfied, New American Standard, is our word for rest, nuach. Hifil perfect will cause the rest, my wrath on them, literally. And I shall be appeased. The word translated appeased is our word nakam, hispile perfect. And it means he'd be satiated, comforted in that regards. So that gives you a good comparison between the two words, the difference of nuance. So 23, the question is, how does Noah's name now relate to the prophecy and its fulfillment? A name meaning rest and its association of providing comfort from the ground that's being cursed by God. 24, the answer lies in the fact that Noah's appearance is designed to give the patriarchs relief as it pertains to God's judgment upon the earth. You strip it down, verse 29, and the relief, the rest, the comfort coming from this man of rest is from God judging the Adama, the ground, hence it being cursed. So, God's judgment upon the earth, in its most basic sense, is where the patriarchs will find relief through this person of rest. So, 25, the language commiserating, and not necessarily in a sinful way, their work, which is ma'aseh, in the Hebrew, and then, quote, hard labor, or toil, or noun itzabon, in the Hebrew, indicates very harsh circumstances under which believers lived during this most evil era. The language is almost like they are worked to death. And that denotes very hard, oppressive conditions that's associated with their livelihood, of having to sustain their life here as it applies to their relationship with the ground. So the language commiserating their work and hard labor indicates very harsh circumstances under which believers lived during this most evil era. 26, the intensive use of the PL verb cursed, our word arar, looks to the ground, or noun adama, as, quote, utterly, or, quote, completely, end quote, cursed. In fact, of the nine times in Genesis that arar, cursed, is used, only here is the PL form used. The rest of the time it's the cow, just the active word for cursing. Here, it's overemphasized, it's exaggerated, if you will, that the Lord has utterly cursed the ground. So you have to recognize that the cursing goes beyond just how one might normally perceive how the ground's being cursed previously. So So 27, the quote cursing, and by cursing we don't mean use of idiomatic language like today. It's like an omen brought upon someone. May 100 camels fly up your nose or whatever. A curse. Curse of the Caribbean pirate or the ship Pearl, the Black Pearl. See, the curse of the Black Pearl. That's a good one. And see what I've watched lately. And I can barely still remember it. Anyway, the cursing here, understanding the what we mean by curse. The cursing highlights all the negative aspects associated with the ground as a target for God's judgment. 28, this includes the seed of the serpent that is associated with the ground by virtue of negative unbelief and the indwelling STA of disobedience to God. In the previous uses of the cow form of the word curse, we see it directly associated with the seed of the serpent, which represents all unbelievers, negative volition, where the serpent is cursed. Verse 14, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust, earth, you shall eat. And I will put hostility between you and the woman and between your seed. That's unbelievers who follow his agenda in life in unbelief and rebellion towards God, and her seed ultimately being realized through the Messiah himself. Believers, and he shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel. So you had curse associated with the serpent in association with the ground, and that's in association with negative volition and unbelief. And then the second aspect of curse is brought about through the indwelling STA and disobedience to God, and that is through Adam in his disobedience to God, his part and judgment upon him. As the ground itself is cursed because of his disobedience, and that is because of his flesh becoming sinful in nature. The body's made of the ground. So you got to recognize the Hebrew in its colorful ways, expressing certain aspects, nuances here in regards to words that are by word association. Adam with Adama. Cursed, verse 17, then Adam, to Adam he said, God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Because of him. See. He contaminated the purity of sophisticated dust that originally he was made out of. See, in righteousness. By becoming disobedient. And translated for his fleshly body into a sinful fleshly body. Sinful dust. And toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. You have to work for it now. So you have this utterly curse absorbing these aspects of reality of God's judgment upon the ground. It's not just hard pan soil necessarily that he's talking about. Like he's living in Oklahoma in the drought period and nothing but red clay trying to dig up the ground with a shovel and you break it. Now, I've had to work with earth that hard. Landscaping job. Crazy. But anyway, now he's dealing with those things associated in judgment to the ground in its entirety. Not only, it's not just enough that it's hard labor to eke out a living in this world. But you have the additional oppressive aspects associated with the ground that's associated with your livelihood. And that is the oppressive nature of negative volition and the STA around you. That is what is being pictured here in regards to Lamech's words with respect to Noah. 29, the language is poetic recognizing that their unforgiving conditions, their harsh conditions, are due to living in Satan's world dominated by his seed. 30, for the ground to be, quote, utterly cursed, end quote, is from the Lord's perspective, which the Lord has utterly cursed. Recognizing a saturation of evil. A saturation of evil associated with planet Earth. A condition of society in its universal aspect brought out in Genesis 6, as we will get there in verses 5 through 7. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. Like, all of a sudden he came to repentance. Now it's language of accommodation. It indicates his displeasure. If there had been another way that God could have initiated his plan for man, other than letting this evil exist, I guarantee you God would have done it. But there's not. This is probably one of the more astounding things in reflection upon our very existence and livelihood. We exist because this is the only way we can in this condition. God did this plan because it's the only way he could. It's the same as Jesus Christ going to the cross to provide salvation. That was the only way that salvation could be provided. God's otherwise not going to sacrifice his son for no other reason if there is another way to do it, see. The genius of God, if you recognize this, the genius of God is of such, he has covered every contingency. And this is the only way for us to be able to live in human bodies and have a soul and be a part of God's economy. And that is by, first and foremost, having to put up with evil for a while. See. If God could have come about another way to do it, he would have done it. So these are just principles that generally are lost on believers. Because most believers are really dull in thinking in regards to theology and biblical realities and spiritual realities. So, utterly cursed recognizes the saturation of evil. In verse 7, continuing my point there in Genesis 6, and the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land. From the ground, from the automaton. From man and animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I'm sorry that I've made them. All right, well, we'll finish this up Thursday evening. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light us to these things in Jesus' name. Amen.